The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday. Good to have you along on Man in Line this afternoon. Roads are closed at the moment on the TT course. Will be closed until, well, at least 5 o'clock tonight. All the action for the racing is on AM 1368, the best biking station in the world. In the meantime, you and me, and I just want to... Now, I don't want to be negative in any way, but there have been reports of bad accommodation being let on the Isle of Man to our visitors. In particular, some people who showed up from Germany were shown to what could only be described as a building site. And they had to find somewhere else, but they'd paid already. Also, some stories, and I don't know how anecdotal this is, that public sector housing has been let out for TT. And subletting in public sector housing isn't allowed. So I just wonder how this is happening. Obviously, homestay will only allow certain types of accommodation. It has to be vetted. And obviously, if you're using the homestay facility, you get public liability insurance, you get rated, and you're approved. Lots of people have gone via Airbnb. It's not illegal. It's you don't have the particular validation that the government scheme would give you. But of course, if you're Airbnb, you have an account and Airbnb holds you responsible. So I just wonder how we're going to combat this problem of dodgy accommodation being let to people who are coming from across and what can effectively be termed as a rip-off and how it's going to affect our reputation going forward in the TT. That to talk about. Also, you probably noticed the island is a lot busier than normal. Good news for many business owners in catering, tourism and other sectors. They're dependent on busy road racing periods. They've had a hammer blow over the past couple of years. So is it a boost? How is it happening? Have you found, if you're in business, how is the spend going? How's that spreadsheet of yours looking? Back end of last week, it seems ages since we last spoke together, but it was Wednesday before the Jubilee Bank holiday weekend. We talked about cats, talked about scratches, and the fact that scratches were killing lots of other animals. It was a study done in the UK, but it bears some relevance on the Isle of Man. Pet cats in Britain's suburbs were killing up to 270 million animals per year. Lots of feedback. It came too late for the programme, but an interesting email in from Silky, who just said, "Yeah, we have a hunting cat. Mostly she brings mice and ringies, and we're very glad about that. The occasional rabbit, which I think we have too many. How many dogs on the loose are killing lambs as well? And how many road kills are there as well?" Don't have figures on that, but it's interesting that you talk about cats bringing mice and ringies and what have you, and obviously birds. And it'd be interesting to know. We're not looking to name and shame any particular feline, but if you have something you could add to that debate, then we'd like to know it if you have a particularly... "Well, I've had cats all my life," says Dave. "I think those numbers are overblown. In the past 11 years, my two cats caught 3 sparrows, and that's it, in 10 years. 3 dead blackbirds so far from cats this year. Next door's," says John. "Next door's cat, is it? I see." I just wanted to... Also, we're looking to trace somebody. We're looking for George William Dugdale. I don't think George William Dugdale will be with us anymore. But have a listen to this message. Came in on the Man in Line answer phone.
"I've got a medal here, a silver medal, which I think, well, I know, but belonged to somebody on the Isle of Man. It was found some years ago in a house in, I think, Richmond Grove. It's quite appropriate. It's for loyal service to the Queen. It's given to staff, I think, in Buckingham Palace. It's to the issued to George William Dugdale for faithful service." And that's a silver. I think it's just white metal, really, and ribbon. And I think there was a Dugdale family on the Isle of Man. I seem to remember Hilary Dugdale, who was a film commission there. So if anybody wants to contact me and claim it, it's obviously, I would say, by the Queen's Head on it, sort of 1950s, quite some time ago. But anyway, if anybody thinks that they're related to George William Dugdale, the Douglas Isle of Man, silver medal for faithful service to the Queen, get in touch with me.
I've got that gentleman's telephone number. We're not going to put it out on air, but if you know and if you can shed any light on George William Dugdale and that particular medal found in Richmond Grove in Douglas for loyal service to the Queen, faithful service to Her Majesty. Sounds like George William Dugdale may have been in service at the royal household, but we're looking for George William Dugdale and relatives thereof to return that particular medal. All we need to do is verify it, and we can then reunite everybody with it as well. On Friday, the UK Energy Minister, this is G on 313G, the UK Energy Minister approved a new gas field, saying gas will be critical to the UK transition to new energy sources by 2050, says G. No more comment. I don't know whether G's got an opinion on that, but that's the story. Also a story over the weekend, I don't know whether you heard about the Heysham nuclear power stations, which are due to be decommissioned in the next, I think, 10 years or so. But there is a possibility they may be extended, their life may be extended. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. I was scanning the industry, the nuclear industry press at the weekend, and that the story of Heysham 1 and Heysham 2, and which one's going to be decommissioned first. But the fact that the UK, because Hinkley Point in the UK is closing, and obviously with energy stability, the supply, just maintaining the supply is important. It could be that, I think they were talking about Hartlepool as well, in the northeast of England, Hartlepool nuclear power station and one of the Heysham power stations, where their lives were going to be extended. Obviously affects us, because it's close. And also the Ben McCree and the new boat will be going in side by side with those nuclear power stations. Now you know why there's the electricity infrastructure next to it. Did you know that? More messages in on the answer phone. This one particularly, I don't know whether you're a resident around Westmoreland Road in Douglas, Domain Road in Douglas, in that area.
Hello, Andy. I'm just phoning about the nurses' home in Douglas. I've just been informed by someone that this work is going ahead without planning permission. Is that possible? And also, where's all these residents going to park? Because I live in the area, and there's not enough parking space as it is at the moment. That's all I have to say on the matter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Westmoreland Road, that new nurses' home development that's going to go ahead. 37 apartments. 37 apartments the nurses' home is going to be turned into. How many parking spaces will there be? Well, at the moment, you'll know if you ever try to park in that parking lot opposite the Kensington Group practice and the other medical facilities there, that parking area is closed. But when it reopens, there will only be 4 car parking spaces for 37 apartments. The DHSC has applied for permission to convert the building on Westmoreland Road into flats and a cafe. In its proposals, the department says it will provide two electric vehicle spaces and 2 accessible spaces. The scheme would see a 21-bedroom, 17 two-bedroom apartments, normally needing 54 car parking spaces under current planning law. But it does provide a large number of bicycle storage spaces, so you're okay if you ride a bike. The objector to the plan described the planning parking provision as insufficient, adding that nearby businesses already account for a large amount of on-street parking. They think it's unrealistic to think that tenants won't have cars and say a bicycle park won't solve the problem. So 37 apartments, that's going to be 21 beds, 17 two beds. So if you assume, let's just go to the extreme and say every person in a one bedroom is going to have a car and everybody in the two bedroom is going to have a car, 54 car parking spaces, 54. And there will be 4, 2 electricity and 2 accessible. Well, This is the redevelopment of that former nurse's home in Douglas. I just wonder what you think of that. There was a public meeting, I think, at Finchill Pavilion and Bowling Club in March. I think we can hear from Chris Thomas about that later. But, I mean, obviously the nurse's home needs to be redeveloped. It's it was a fine building in its day, but it is very much deteriorated in condition. So let's just see what they're going to come up with and see. Oh, cats, says Pat. Pat says, cats have always caught birds, mice. It's in their nature, as it is for dogs to chase cats. Animals in the jungle kill other animals too, says Pat. Yeah, I agree, Pat, but they are domestic. I just wonder, and this is nothing against cats or dogs, for that matter. I'd just like to know. I was just a bit taken aback by that figure of how many animals cats kill. Front page of the Manx Independent reporting yet another MUA financial failure, says Bob. The new sewer scheme for Garth should be pumped away to the Irish connection rather than the lower quality, more expensive regional scheme. Yeah, this is the story that, the numbers are being contested. I think that's the best thing we can say. The numbers as to whether it's pump or dump at Garth. And obviously you only need to stand high up in Laxey to see what happens to the waste at the moment. It goes out to sea. I notice, says 775, an abundance of wallaby numbers this year. They're leaping about the fields and hedges, so I just want to make everybody else aware the wallabies are out and about, especially in the Sulby area, says Crystal. Thank you, Crystal, for that information. It's good to hear from you. Let's get to the lines now and with us. Hi, John.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm just calling to let you know that I went to school with a gentleman called George Dugdale. I don't know whether his middle name was William or not, and it might not be the same age group, but he lived in Upper Poe Rose, and we went to school together from mid-50s to mid-60s, I think, something like that. So whether he'd still be alive or not, I don't know. But he could be a relation of the same person you're talking about. And so I'd start in Poe Rose if you want to. Make any contact.
Right, okay, so, and this was the what? He was at school in the 50s?
50s and 60s, yeah.
Okay, so that would make him how old now then?
Well, I'm in the early 70s, so he's still alive now, mid same age as me.
Okay.
But I think this gentleman they're talking about is probably older.
Okay, well, maybe. What was his father called?
I don't know what he might have been, George, as well.
Yeah.
You know? He's called as this guy was George William, was it?
Yeah, well, George William Dugdale.
Well, this guy I was going to school with might have been a junior.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, all right.
Paul Rose.
Yeah, I appreciate that, John. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All Thank right, good know. To hear from you. 19 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Yes, it's TT Week. Did you notice it's TT Week? You probably notice busier than it has been for, nearly 3 years. Good news if you're in catering, tourism, and anything else that depends on footfall. The busy road racing periods have been badly impacted by the cancellation of the event for 2 years. So just how much of a boost is the return of racing?
It's great to be back. The island's starting to get busier now. I had a lot of locals in and they're just glad to have people back on the islands.
Absolutely love it. Really happy to be back. It's been a long time coming.
Brilliant. It's great to have it back again, obviously, after the last 2 years. It's going to be a crazy time.
It's been a long 3 years. 3 years for us all there. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant to have the atmosphere back and looking forward to seeing some more racing, that's for sure.
And everyone seems a bit happier as well. I think they're glad to be here.
There's a lot, just happiness everywhere.
It's my favourite 2 weeks of the year for work. Just coming over here, getting to mingle with the customers and other traders and see some racing and catch up with the riders as well that we sponsor.
We miss TT so, so much. The island is not the same without TT.
Have you been supporting the TT traders, by the way? Have you been buying TT merchandise at all? Have you been going out and buying TT teas? If you have guests or friends over, have they been responding to it? We are reliant on TT, obviously. I mean, we're not overly reliant because tourism is a far smaller part of the island's GDP than it used to be. Financial services is a big part of it. E-commerce is a big part of it. And e-gaming is an even bigger part of it. Do you think the government needs to broaden things out and support these types of traders all the year round? Because as well as being an important event for the finances of Manx businesses, TT remains a hugely important asset to the wider island and to government. Now, one person who's going to be keeping a very beady eye on the income from the 2022 races is the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson.
Looking at the 2017 data, we published a big report 2019, and at that time we thought the TT probably brought in about £34 million to the Isle of Man economy. It's difficult to measure. That's going to have grown since then. I mean, we're probably talking about 40, 50 million now. And what happens during that time is a lot of the businesses can gear up, they can expand, they can innovate, and that then allows them to provide services to residents on the Isle of Man all through the year, all through those 12 months. So things like the TT are really important in terms of pump priming, the hospitality industry, the leisure industry, getting those jobs there. But also with the tourism strategy we've got, we want to expand that and get more people coming over for different events right the way through the year. But the TT is really important, and it's part of our heritage. We haven't just taken off where we left off in 2019. The world has changed, and so some of the innovations we've seen, for instance, TT Plus, seeing live streaming, is trying to build the TT as a world-class sport event, trying to get a bigger audience for it worldwide.
Have you been catching the ITV4 stuff? It's on 9 o'clock every evening. It's the programme, I think Greenlight are putting it together for ITV4. You've been watching that. There's some wonderful shots of the Isle of Man. And it is the 2 weeks of the year that the Isle of Man becomes visible to the world through TT. It's obviously a world-class event, and we get visitors from all over the world. So are we showcasing the island in the best possible way? And if you have any stories about substandard accommodation, by all means, feel free to get in touch with Man in Line, because it will be nice to know if people are being ripped off. I mean, in a bad way, obviously. It'd be nice to know if anybody is letting the side down, shall I put it that way. Crystal's worried about the flying wallabies in Sulby and the fact that they could possibly get onto the course. I just wonder how you'd stop a wallaby. If there are more and more wallabies, do they tend to hit the road that much, that often? You don't very often hear of wallabies on the road. They tend to stick to the currocks, don't they? I want to mention the use of drones, says Helen. In residential areas, given that one was used at Glen Vine, flown near the racecourse, I think the present laws aren't strict enough. Flying over other people's homes and gardens is an invasion of privacy. Go and take your drone up to the mountain, says Helen. That's an interesting point, because obviously aeroplanes can fly over public areas, private areas, housing estates. They can fly over private land at a certain height. I don't know what the regulation is regarding how low a drone can go over private accommodation. But certainly they're banned from around the course, within a kilometre of the course. So we'll find out more on that. We've still got to find this guy. We've still got to find Mr. Dugdale, if you can help us, with George William Dugdale. We're looking for George William Dugdale, somebody's call man in line. And they've got a Loyal Service to the Queen medal for George William Dugdale. It was found in a property in Richmond Grove in Douglas, but it's given to George William Dugdale for faithful service to the royal household. And talking of the image of the Isle of Man, I don't know what you think about Douglas deserving better. Daphne Kane, who represents Garth, says she wants the government to do more to protect the Isle of Man's heritage and make it attractive to tourists. Remember a wee while ago when the historian Charles Gard published that video highlighting areas that have fallen into a state of disrepair in the capital city now? And Daphne Kane warned that the island didn't look ready for tourists. Well, they're here. We're halfway through the busiest period of the year, and it'd be nice to know what they think of it. So what can be done to tackle the issue of protecting the Isle of Man's heritage? Daphne Kane.
In terms of the success of a government or how an administration is judged, what people see as the welcome gateway to the island of Douglas, we deserve better, Douglas deserves better, and the ongoing maintenance of our all our assets, really, for our visitor offering of our footpaths and our, particularly our heritage sites. I would like to see that put on a firmer footing. And I think it's very welcome that the public response to Charles's video has been quite so strong and supportive, because I've known Charles for many, many, many years when he's done promotional videos for the Isle of Man. And I find this was actually very balanced, because, of course, there's still the beautiful shots across Port Erin and the hills. The Isle of Man is an amazing place. We've got a lot to offer visitors. It was welcome to hear on the radio the visitor, the hotel owners saying visitors are very pleased with the Isle of Man and they're delighted with the offering. But we know it could be so much more. And I absolutely think that we need to take back the pride in our island.
Is there any sort of recognition, do you think, in Tynwald or across government that we can't carry on underfunding investment in our infrastructure?
I hope the message has hit home with Minister Crookle, and certainly from his comments and the fact that department officers were on Marine Drive assessing those very broken down old barriers days after the video came out. I think it has had a positive impact. It will, I think, continue to have more. And in terms of its political priorities, and the department, the minister, the members are responsible for directing their officers and their budget accordingly. We need to see investment in things that matter to communities and looking long-term future as well as short-term gains in terms of smartening up the place.
Now you can hear more from Daphne Kane, MHK, with Phil Gorn tonight, just after 6 o'clock, just after Update tonight. Daphne Kane and Phil Gorn on Agenda and the future of the Isle of Man's heritage and making the place look attractive to visitors. Here's Jeff now. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Andy. Nice to speak with you, as always. Regarding Mr. Dugdale, there's one connection. I think the gentleman referred to the Hill Commission in the 60s, that would be. And my dear late mother, Doreen Bateman, used to work in the tourist board. And I think she had connections with Hilary Dugdale, who used to work in the Film Commission. I don't know what's happened to Hilary now, but it was some time ago, of course. But I think we're on one generation from the Mr. Dugdale we're talking about.
Yes, I think Hilary retired quite a while ago from the Film Commission. But yes, I don't know of any other Dugdales on the island, do you?
I do not know. I was born here, yes, sir, but I don't know of any. And the other thing I'd like to say, please, is in the tourist board literature in the 60s, one of the phrases that was on their posters and campaigns generally is, it's our differences that make the difference. And that's all I need to say on that, I think.
Really. You're channeling the spirit of Len Bond, aren't you, Jeff?
Absolutely good man he was too, yes. My mother used to work for him as well.
All right, we appreciate that, and thanks for remembering Doreen Bateman. Thanks for that, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Andy. Bye-bye.
All right, good to talk to you. 29 minutes past 12. This is it. We're looking for Dugdale. We're looking for somebody's found a medal with George William Dugdale on the back. It was awarded to George William Dugdale for faithful service to Her Majesty. And they reckon it looks like a royal household medal. So if you can help, we're trying to trace George. Well, I'll let the man tell you himself.
I've got a medal here, a silver medal, which I think, well, I know, but what belonged to somebody on the Isle of Man. It was found some years ago in a house in, I think, Richmond Grove. It's quite appropriate. It's for loyal service to the Queen. It's given to staff, I think, in Buckingham Palace. It's to the issued to George William Dugdale for faithful service. Well, that's a silver. I think it's just white metal, really, and ribbon. And I think there was a Dugdale family on the Isle of Man. I seem to remember Hilary Dugdale to do with the Film Commission there. So if anybody wants to contact me and claim it, it's obviously, I would say, by the Queen's head on it, sort of 1950s. Quite some time ago. But anyway, if anybody thinks that they're related to George William Dugdale, the Douglas Isle of Man, silver medal for faithful service to the Queen, get in touch with me.
Buying a hearing aid is a serious business. At Island Hearing, there's no pressure to make a quick decision. First, we take the time to listen.
Well, I received a meticulous assessment using the latest technology, followed by a free hearing aid trial and free aftercare. I know I'm in safe hands at Island Hearing.
Always here for you with transparent pricing and dedicated service you can trust. Visit number 1 Station Road, Port Erin, or call 830-722. Island Hearing, we're listening.
There's only one name you need when it comes to scrap. Castain Scrap Metal. Castain will scrap all metal and they're licensed to scrap all batteries, including dry cell and lead acid batteries, to get the best prices of copper, lead, aluminium, catalytic converters, brass and more. Remember one name, Castain Scrap Metal. Castain Scrap Metal. Remember one number, 801337. 801337. Castain Scrap Metal.
While it's no longer a legal requirement for those who test positive for COVID-19 to isolate, individuals are strongly encouraged to stay at home and to avoid contact with other people until 48 hours after symptoms have stopped, and stay away from sensitive locations like clinical settings. If you can, you should inform people you've been in close contact with about your positive test result so they can make their own informed decisions. For advice and recommendations, visit covid19.gov.im.
Excuse me, can I check your baggage, please?
To celebrate the new service to London City Airport, Logan Air and Manx Radio are giving you the chance to win 2 return flights. Stay listening to Manx Radio, and if you can guess which celebrity is having their luggage searched, text their name and your name to 166177, and you could be in the draw to win.
Nothing to declare. Landing soon with Logan Air and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
Join me, Simon Clark, this Tuesday at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio for the second and final part of my conversation with Derry Kizik and Jim Davidson from the world-famous Purple Helmets, as this is going to be their last year performing together. In this programme, we find out about trouble with the local police in the Czech Republic and a dabble with royalty. So join me, Simon Clark, for the Helmets' Last Bash, this coming Tuesday here at 6 o'clock on Manx Radio, and the podcasts are available on Manx Radio's website for free.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Master Mike, good afternoon, 27 minutes before 1. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Now, just listening to that chap about the medal for the Dugdales on the island. Well, I picked up the telephone directory, and this is just the local one, and there's 8 Dugdales on the island at the moment between Douglas, Peel, Lexi, Onken. So if anybody, whoever it is looking for that, there are 3G Dugdales now. Whether that has any significance, I don't know. One I do know is Bala Wynn up in the Strang. I worked with John for years, but that goes under M Dugdale. But there are 8 here. That's only in the telephone directory. That's not saying how many have mobile phones is not listed.
Interesting as well that this George William Dugdale, for faithful, loyal service to the Queen. I mean, and bearing in mind the Queen only took over, as we know, in 1952, that faithful service to the Queen would have to be after 1952. So interesting to and it was found in Richmond, in a property in Richmond Grove as well.
Yeah. It's the first I've heard of it, actually, but it's there must be renovations and people finding these things. But I do hope it finds its rightful home or the family of the owner. As you say, it's coming from the 1950s, so we're talking 70 years plus. And that person would have been, fairly old or oldish to go into the Queen's service.
Yeah.
Respected, so they're probably not with us anymore, but the family will be. But that is a start of 8 people there, that you can twiddle round. If they always say, I don't know, but I know a man that does. So it's possible you could find out somewhere within that, but be ultra careful who you hand these things out to.
Well, that's it. I mean, the gentleman did leave us his telephone number, which I have, but obviously we're not going to put it out on the air
because we
want to find the right Dugdale.
That's correct. That's how it should be. Go back to its rightful home. And home was the operative word, because if he did faithful service in that respect, you don't know what the man did. It's going to be his family history.
Yeah.
But if it's going to go back to anywhere, it should go back to the family that of the G. Dugdale, George Dugdale.
Okay, all right, that's great.
Just, one of the other things there, I just listened to, oh Lord, the old brain is going, what's her name up there in... Mackled.
Oh, Daphne Kane.
Daphne Kane, that's her. That's the trouble getting old these days. The grey stuff's not working as well. But it's amazing how the number of people, since Charles Gard brought this video out on the story of the Isle of Man, on his dereliction, and its neglect of the various heritage sites, etc., how many politicians have come out? Very few. They're all sitting on their hands still there, and this has been out for weeks and weeks, and they're just hoping it's going to go away. But the TT now has taken the edge off that at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see how many people come in and kick sand in the face of the people that's been opposing all these things, and see if we can get something done. Because they seem to be coming up with these silly grand schemes, yet all around us, the stuff that is valuable is slowly, or in some cases, rapidly deteriorating. And it'd be nice to know if the politicians that we elected on our behalf are going to look after what is the heritage of the Isle of Man.
I think it'll be interesting also, Howard, that when this current crop of tourists, when they go home at the end of this week and possibly into next week, you know, they'll reflect on their 2 weeks or less on the island, and some of them won't have been here for a while, some people for never. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of stuff they write when people get asked, you know, what's your feedback and what do you think. It'll be interesting to see just what they think of the Isle of Man, because we see it up, we see everything in front of us, and we know we can see dreadful brownfield sites that have been there for years. We see the Laxey Wheel not working. We see the Castle Mona as it is, and Lord Street bus station. I just wonder what other people think.
Well, the Lord Street bus station was going to be a hotel. Of course, the COVID put paid to that. Then we've got a very similar situation in Duke Street. I did see some people working down there, but that seems to have come to a halt. But I think the building trade, in lots of cases, are off for the race period. It used to be a holiday like that for a couple of weeks. But a lot of the firms now are working on the island are UK, so they won't take that as red as a public holiday. But you're right in what you're saying about the Laxey Wheel. These are things that have been sitting, waiting for work to be done on them for donkey's years, and now suddenly it's a catch-up. And unfortunately, when they started, they're not going to have anywhere near time to catch up on years of neglect to get this summer season. They're going to have to be keeping working properly and continuously and rapidly to bring the island back to somewhere near where it used to be. We've got 10 years that have gone by that people have just let things slip and trying to build new things and neglecting the old. But the, it's still there. And I was amused what they say, the promenade is a shared space. It certainly is this week, because the promenade, thank goodness for it, is full of motorbikes. And they're on what they propose to be the nice white stoned areas on the promenade. The modern bikes don't leak oil like the old ones used to, but it is a shared space now because the bikes are parked there because there's nowhere else to put them.
And they're parking on that wild space as well. Have you seen some of them parking there?
I have, yes. Good job they cut the grass, otherwise they would never found them when they come back for them.
And as you say, it's a good job it's not the Manx Grand Prix, because some of those old AJSs and Royal Enfield will be spilling oil everywhere.
Exactly. If it didn't spill oil, it wasn't working properly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Okay. Take care.
Good to everyone. And Anne dropped me a note in. Anne just said, George William Dugdale could be related to my grandfather, John Robert Dugdale from Ramsey. We'll get in touch with you, Anne, just to see. But we're looking for this George William Dugdale. Somebody's found a white metal medal for loyal service to the Queen, faithful service to the royal household. That's for George William Dugdale from the Isle of Man. If you can help, get in touch, by all means do. Betty's on Man in Line now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. You were asking about what visitors were saying.
Yeah.
Well, this wasn't said to me, but I can think of no reason why the person would make it up. She said that visitors in Ramsey were saying it was awful, and that it they were comparing it with Ukraine, and that there was nothing to do in Ramsey, and they were very disappointed.
But, I wonder. I don't know. Were they first time visitors? Do you know, Betty?
I don't know anything else, but she wouldn't make it up, you know.
I think it's interesting, and I think we are duty bound to take notice of what visitors say, because sometimes you can be a little too close to things and not see what strangers can actually see straight away.
This I do know. People were asking, where are the shops when they were walking down Parliament Street? And we felt a bit embarrassed because this was the shops.
Where are the shops in Parliament Street, Betty?
Well, a lot of them are boarded up.
I mean, you can still get stuff in Ramsey, can't you? You've still got, there are still shops.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of gift shops and things, but probably a lot of them were closed, actually, over TT. I don't know if they were, but quite a few places were closed. But that's what they were saying. Can you show us the way to the shops?
All right, Betty, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Take care, Andy.
All right, you too as well. 18 minutes before one. There are many shops in Ramsey. Well, I suppose that's something we have to reconcile ourselves to. If you go to lots of other places, particularly in the UK, lots of high streets are multiples. Lots of multiples all look the same. But then again, if you go to lots of high streets in the UK, doesn't it go charity shop, pawnbroker, coffee shop, pie shop, charity shop, newsagent, charity shop, building society. It's a bit like that. So we take what we've got. But certainly there are some fine retailers in Ramsey, but I mean, there have been three businesses who've disappeared from Ramsey in the past couple of months. But many fine retailers, our good friend Millie Chaps and Looney's, all there, lots and lots of fine places. So what do you think our visitors are thinking of the Isle of Man? Loads of emails in today, which I'll get to. In fact, I'll do some now. And this one said, there is a George Dugdale who lives in Laxey. Don't think he's a gentleman concerned, says JT. There's a GDPR issue regarding drones, says Bryn. A recognisable image of you. Oh, this is interesting. A recognisable image of you is your personal data, which is subject to GDPR. Images captured by drones flying over private property may be in breach of GDPR and therefore unlawful. Thank you, Bryn. I just wonder how on earth you enforce that. Some notices in just to say, there is an ex-police officer called Paul Dugdale now riding tourists around on the trikes. I wonder if he related to the Dugdale in concert. 8 Dugdales in the phone books. Lots of people are telling me in now. And there's a Mrs. Dugdale who works as a teacher at Port Erin Primary School. Not sure if she's still there. I've forgotten her first name, but I wonder if she's still about. Neil said, enjoying the racing today, but I've just tuned in to Man in Line because the race is finished. But in regard to cats, there are 5 in my immediate neighbourhood which are all bird killers. The young fledglings in particular are killed at random until all of them are destroyed. Also, my vegetable patch is constantly being scratched up and cat stuff left everywhere. Several years ago, several years ago, I shot a particularly nasty specimen and buried it under my trees. I think cat owners have no regard to environmental damage to the wildlife which their animals cause. They're not a native species, says Neil. Thank you, Neil. Didn't expect to hear that today. After speaking to a lady at the grandstand today, it's her 20th TT visit. She says, unfortunately, it will be her last as the stretch of water is just too expensive. It was £800 for her and her husband and their car. She says she can go abroad for less. Top it off, she went to a supermarket, bought fresh orange juice, and it was twice the price that it was in the UK. She was horrified. The cost, especially with the cost of living, isn't sustainable, says this texter on 992. The TT is certainly only going to be affordable to the elite, of which there aren't many. The true race fan won't be able to afford a visit here. The government should be encouraging travel, not pricing people out of it, says Pam. Something I think we've all heard, haven't we? And there's a rumbling going on that the, if you like, the ordinary road race fan is being priced out of the TT, and that the aim is to get it higher and higher into the echelons of society, and that you want better and better off people coming to see. Now, of course, it's going to cost money. Everything costs money. It costs money to go everywhere around the world. I just wonder whether you think the government's on the right tack. Should the TT be for the people, for the TT fans, the loyal TT fans, or do you think pushing it slightly upmarket is a good idea?
Step into an oasis of calm at Bridge Bookshop and escape from the world around you with a good book. Relax with some art materials or chill out to some music. Feed your soul with a new hobby. Bridge Bookshop. Find us opposite the beach in Port Erin and at 62 Parliament Street, Ramsey. Warning, reading, painting and listening to music or playing an instrument can seriously improve your mental health. No terms or conditions apply.
Me and the missus have been using Spectrum windows for as long as I can remember. From the windows in our very first house to our new orangery, we've received the latest tried and tested products and a great service. Locally based Spectrum work island-wide and employ their own installers, so the excellent workmanship's guaranteed. Come to think of it, we've been married as long as we've been using Spectrum windows. That's 25 glorious years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Have you been missing the TT? Make sure your family aren't missing you when it's over. The roads aren't all racetracks. Look out for other road users and pedestrians. Obey all road signs and speed limits, and ride within your limits at all times. Ride safely this year, and you won't be missing next year. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Road Safety Team.
The £2 for £8 barbecue range exclusively at ShopRite. Choose from Andrus Meat Company Jumbo Manx sausages, premium burgers, tasty minute steaks, thin cut pork steaks, or delicious glazed chicken thighs and drumsticks. Mix and match any £2 for £8 to create the perfect barbecue feast. There's also Sainsbury's Summer Edition range that's perfect for the barbie. Add to that a great selection of salads, sides and snacks. It has to be ShopRite, where the riders shop.
On Agenda, we look at the shaming of government by Charles Gard's critical video and the dramatic improvements that followed it. And is enough being done for our footpaths, glens and heritage attractions? We also consider an MLC's bid to improve government support and protection of our built heritage. On Agenda at 6pm this evening, on Manx Radio, we hear from Marlene Masker, MLC, that rare thing, a politician who knows what she's talking about, and Daphne Kane, a strong champion for our heritage. Does our heritage matter to you? Should we do more to protect it, or is it all a waste of taxpayers' money? You decide.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1 on Manx Radio, and Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Yes, good afternoon, Andy. Not the Howard that was on before, but I'm just inquiring if any members of the listening audience could help with some information. I'm seeking information on Beryl Swain, the 1962 female TT racer. She was on the 50cc, I think it was an item bike. But I've been asked to find out, if possible, where she actually stayed when she was on the island. Does anybody know where she was accommodated, or if anybody could help, it would be appreciated.
Okay, so it was the 1960, was it the 1962?
I believe so, yeah.
Right, yeah.
1966.
Yeah, I'd never heard of Beryl till I think last week on those 9 o'clock shows on ITV4. They did when Maria Costello was on for the hour. They did quite a big feature on Beryl Swain, didn't they?
He did indeed. Yes, yes. And it actually stems from an inquiry from a friend of mine who met a biographer of her history, and one thing she couldn't find out was where she stayed. And it was suspected it might have been either on the promenade or off the promenade. But apart from that, nobody seems to have any information. So,
okay, we're seeking Beryl Swain's digs in 1962 then.
Correct, yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll try and get to the bottom of that. Howard, thanks for calling today.
Okay, lovely. Thank you very much.
Okay, if you have any information on Beryl Swain, then where Beryl Swain stayed on the Isle of Man, she was in the TT. She finished 22nd on a 50cc item. Did two laps of the mountain in the 1962 race at 48.3 miles per hour, although a bike lost top gear on the second lap. Beryl Swain. There was all sorts of stuff on that ITV4 programme. That Maria Costa. They were talking about women in the TT, and Beryl was somebody who'd been under the radar, really, apart from the real aficionados. So it was a pleasure to find out about Beryl Swain from Walthamstow in E17 in London. But if you can help with where Beryl stayed, if anybody remembers or knew of where Beryl Swain stayed in 1962, by all means, get in touch. Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hello, Andy. I'm just ringing to say that I lived in Richmond Grove when I was young, and there definitely was a Mrs. Dugdale there then.
Ah, right.
I think it was number 3, Richmond Grove.
And what number did you live at?
8.
You were eight, number 3. Okay. And when was that?
I got married in 1960, and she was still there then.
Okay, so...
But I don't know when she moved.
So...
And there was no Mr. Dugdale, it was only Mrs. Dugdale.
Okay, so, and they were at number 8, Richmond Grove, you say?
I was 8. Dugdales were 3, number 3.
3 Richmond Grove in the 19th. Right, okay. We appreciate that. Thanks for getting in touch, Maureen.
Okay, righto, thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. Tommy's with us now on Men in Line. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, Barry, Andy, sorry. There was a Dugdale in my form at Ballacomaine, Andy, and his name was Kenneth. We call him Kenny Dugdale.
Kenny Dugdale. What year was that, Tommy?
Well, we were 12 up there, so it was 1957 when I first moved up to Ballacomaine, Andy. And I'd say one thing, you know, this amazing thing that we've got called a mind's eye. As soon as you mention him, I could see his face, and isn't that rather unusual, isn't
it? Well, that's the power of the human mind, Tommy. We've got everything stored.
In my case, it's very little stored in there, Andy, I think.
All right, Tommy, thanks for calling today.
Cheers, Andy, cheers.
It's called the theory of cryptonesia. There is a theory that every sense, the 5 senses and possibly the other 2 senses, that your brain has encountered since you were a fetus, the theory is that they're stored in your brain somewhere, and it's merely a matter of recall. All you have to do is just remember. Isn't that interesting? Beryl stayed next door to us at the Seafield on Windsor Terrace. Howard, Pauline dropped a note into Manx Radio to say Beryl Swain stayed at Seafield on Windsor Terrace. Lil Windsor was the guest house owner for that. So Beryl Swain stayed at Seafield on Windsor Terrace. Tons and tons of texts and emails in today, including this one. I don't want to scare you, but I'll just mention it anyway. How and when will locally found monkeypox numbers be reported, says Andy. People who contract monkeypox on the island could be sent to specialist hospitals in the UK for treatment. Now, that's according to Dr. Debash Ishmandal, who's a consultant at the GUM section, the genito-urinary medicine section at Nobles, who says Manx Care is well prepared to deal with any cases of monkeypox.
Because it's a viral disease, there is no specific treatment, although there is an antiviral drug. It is there for very specialist centers, which reduces the duration of infectiousness and duration of hospital stay to some extent. It's not curative. If somebody does have a laboratory-proven monkeypox, then the current advice and guideline from UKHSA is that they should be transferred and looked after in a special infectious disease unit. If that is not possible due to whatever reason, and they are not ill, generally speaking, does not require hospital admission, so they can self-isolate at home for 21 days. The duration of illness tends to be about 2 to 3 weeks. We are all prepared, and I always had a feeling that we will have a few days extra for to prepare fully, and that seems to be the case.
Well, we'll find out soon. There have been no cases of monkeypox announced on the Isle of Man. Perhaps it's only a matter of time, and obviously as we have tens and tens of thousands of visitors, that may be something that speeds the whole process up. Thanks for your efforts today for George William Dugdale of Richmond Grove. We've got lots of stuff to work with, and I'll be aiming to find out who he was related to and hopefully get the that particular medal back to the nearest relative concerned. And thanks for the information regarding Beryl Swain today. That's it for Man in Line. Back tomorrow at high noon. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today.
WINT